Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Book Cheat, the book club podcast where I've read the book so you don't have to. My name is Dave Warnocky, and on each episode of this show, we look at one of the classics, and rejoining me to look at such a classic, it's Cass Page and Jackson Bailey.
Oh, hello.
So happy to be back for these last 50 years of solitude.
I've been thinking about that first 50 years this whole time. I'm ready to finish it off.
You've had a couple of weeks to let it wash over you.
Yeah, to let it settle in.
Soaking in the bath of it. 50 glorious years.
All right, for everyone at home, just for the context, we're back for part two of 100 Years of Solitude, and we are hot off the back of recording the first time. It's still fresh for us. We just recorded that. So hopefully it's, you know, fresh-ish for the people at home.
I think so.
But I do have a previously on 100 Years of Solitude to get you up to speed. Or I love this, people, this is for the podcast, but you don't have time to read the whole book. Some people might have only time to do the second half of the book.
That's true.
And for those people, I salute you, and they're hoping that I can get them up to speed with just this previously.
Yeah, well, the ending is usually, you know, that's when the thing happens big enough to finish a story.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So I understand that if you've got to impress someone. Because when have you ever been speaking to someone and they're just like, oh, and the beginning?
Like, the start. What did you think?
How many times have you had a conversation with someone about a piece of art and they're like, how was the ending though?
Yeah, that's true.
Yes, what did you think of the ending?
How about that ending?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want that middle. Oh.
I think it was that middle bit.
That middle bit where everybody was just kind of, you know, we'd established everything, but there was no climax yet. Wow. Yeah.
I like the part where there was a problem, but do not give me a resolution. No.
That's the best bit. Oh my God.
Well, we had all those things. We had problems, we had middles, we had beginnings in the first half. And this is what happened. We met the Buendia family living in the fictional Colombian village of Macondo, starting with patriarch Papa Jose Arcadio Buendia. Also, for people who haven't heard it, some of these characters I've given some nicknames because a lot of the male characters have the same, if not very similar names. So, Papa Jose. He started the Buendia family with his wife, the matriarch, Ursula. Real badass. Love this lady.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect woman.
And we are partway through following the Buendia family over seven generations over a century. And the patriarch, Papa Jose, is dead after losing his mind whilst in pursuit of knowledge, spurred on by a traveler named Melquiades, who also has died. But the ghosts or specters of both men still hang around the family compound. Because remember, this book is full of magical realism. One of their first sons, the Colonel, has lost all interest in fighting the civil war that dominated the first half of the book. And now the Colonel spends all his days in his workshop making tiny fish made from gold.
Beautiful.
Love it.
And in the generation since, there's been a bit of incest or attempted incest, some tragedy.
Touchy incest.
Yeah.
You know.
A whole lot of solitude. A guy had sex with donkeys.
Yeah, he did.
No. It's pretty out there. Ursula, the matriarch, is still alive, aged 100, but the house is now being ruled with an iron, I've got here, by an iron thumb. Can you rule with an iron thumb?
You can have a green thumb in the garden.
Those are my words there. I surely have gone
iron fist
under the thumb or the iron fist.
Yeah,
I think
I've
one, two there. By Fernanda del Carpio, who was married into the family, marrying Aureliano Segundo. His twin brother, Jose Arcadio Segundo, is an ass man.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yes, he is.
Who has sex with donkeys, and their sister is Remedios the Beauty, the most beautiful woman the town has ever seen, but who is completely oblivious to men who literally kill themselves over her.
Really?
Yeah, they die.
Do they kill? Is like too beautiful, going to shoot my own head?
I think it's like, please, you have to marry me. You're everything.
Oh,
and then rejected and their own life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A whole town of Sean Kingston's.
Yeah. Oh, you're way too
beautiful girls. Oh, they only want to eat the dirt.
That was a different lady.
I know that. Yeah.
I don't know why. It's funny that I didn't get that because I was thinking about Sean Kingston just the other day and I looked him up on that great website, Wikipedia.org.
What'd you learn?
It is good.
That I was looking him up and it said, like, you know, doesn't seem to have had music. He put out an album, but it was one of those things where it wasn't even hyperlinked on Wikipedia. So there's no information about it last year's, which is not a good sign. But then it said that he'd recently bought a jet. And I was like, holy shit, Sean Kingston's still got jet money. Then I went on his Instagram page.
Yeah.
I see the post where he's got the jet and he's talking about how they've done it up because they're like, when we got this jet, it didn't even have air conditioning. This and this wasn't working. So I think he's got a cheap jet.
He got a secondhand jet.
And put it, which for me,
Frugal King.
I do not want to, I don't want to step foot on that jet.
No, I don't want to say.
That's terrifying.
Was
to me.
He doing the jet up?
He was saying, like, before this, we did this. I hope he's got some professionals involved, surely.
He has to, but I understand when people buy a fixer-upper car, it's like, oh, my God, you know, this is the car my dad drove. I want to do it up. Beautiful. He would be in the garage. Yeah. I can figure it out. I can, you know, heal the wounds that I'm not acknowledging.
Yeah.
He's like, this is the jet that my papa used to have. And it would be so nice to just scoot around in the jet. And, you know, we didn't have air conditioning, but maybe I could make it nice, you know, for my new family.
Every time I go for a Sunday morning.
Yeah, you got to wind the windows down, get the breeze in.
Makes me think of dad.
Well, that's Sean Kingston. I don't know. I was looking him up.
Yeah, fair enough.
Well, I'm glad he's found an outlet to deal with how beautiful women are. It's not ending at all.
Is it? Do you think it's embarrassing to have a secondhand jet as a celebrity? Are other celebrities with...
I think he's framing it as a fixer-upper.
Yeah, so he is. But it is... You clearly don't have, you know, new jet money. He gets secondhand jet money.
But it is sustainable, but it's also a jet.
Yeah.
It's like, well, no one's using this jet. I'll do it up. It's like,
this is still a private jet.
You still will be using jet fuel and stuff to fly this. Well, yeah, of course. But.
Yeah. I'm so wired into whenever someone is like, oh, I'll just do up an old one. I'm always like, yes, that's what we should be doing.
Yes, recycling.
Like,
that's exactly. The future.
Yeah, but it's a jet.
It's a jet. It's a jet.
That has to be embarrassing, right?
I think it's going to be
but he's
humiliating.
Doing it out
for
loud.
Him. Yeah, yeah. Well, because he's got to frame it. Because, you know,
maybe he was embarrassed about flaunting the wealth. He's like, this is a fixer-upper jet.
Okay. I'm just like you. I'm an everyman.
Yeah. Well, he did kind of trick me. Like, you know, when you hear about celebrities taking private jets everywhere, I'm like, oh, but so he's got his own jet at home. Like, he's not.
Yeah.
And he's doing it up. Like, it's a secondhand one. It's not like he bought it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the fuel. The fuel is the issue. It's going directly into the sky. Like, you're going up there and spraying it.
That's true.
And he tricked me.
He tricked us all. Sean Kingston. You dog.
Yeah. Our most recent generation in the book is actually the second last we'll meet, and they are the children of Aureliana Segundo and Fernando Del Carpio. Despite their rocky marriage where he cheats on her with Petra Cortez, because remember, their lovemaking has a magical effect on farm animals, makes them more fertile. But the married couple of Aureliana Segundo and Fernando Del Carpio have two children, a daughter named Meme, and Jose Arcadio. Ursula, their great-great-grandmother, predicts that he will be Pope, so I'm going to call him Pope Jose.
Yeah,
nice. For anyone playing along at home, I've got the little family tree that I've given to Cass and Jackson, and I've given some nicknames on here. I've put it on the Instagram, put it on the Twitter, put it on the Facebook page, at Book Cheat Pod, I should say. And, if that makes it easy for you to digest, by all means, please check it out.
Highly recommend.
Yeah.
Jackson mentioned last episode, every single time a name gets mentioned, we're straight away just like looking at our sheet.
Yeah.
Who's that? Who's that?
It's like funny name bingo. Yeah. Funny name is in the one that Dave's written, not their original names. Yeah, yeah. But Ass Man, a treat to read.
Oh, yeah. It's always good.
Ass Man or Huge Dong.
Yeah.
Jose Arcadio was known. So where we left things the last episode, a railroad has just been built connecting the town to quote-unquote civilization. They've been quite disconnected from the rest of the outside world with only limited contact, and now they're on the map. They're literally on the map.
Yeah.
People are coming
so
in.
So exciting.
And the train brings great excitement and change to the town. With the train comes technology like record players, a cinema, other modern entertainment and comforts.
Okay.
Papa Jose would have shat.
Yeah, he would have been losing his freaking mind. He might as a ghost still. Can't shit as a ghost, obviously. But
ghost shit.
Ghost shit. He could be shitting as a ghost. We don't know.
Yeah. We don't know yet. We'll have to ask John Edward. John Edwards crossing over. does grandpa still shit? But foreign capitalists also arrive and build a banana plantation in Macondo, and they build their own gated community completely fenced in next to the town. And these capitalists bring great wealth and transform the town, but also bring a violent police force that persecutes and attacks the existing citizens of Macondo for even the slightest offences.
That sounds like capitalism. Yeah.
And this is a real change in vibe for the town.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, yeah. Isolation, a lot of money and brutality. That sounds correct.
And the colonel, making his fish, starts to regret signing a treaty that he believes has resulted in the state of affairs. Like, his whole life he's sort of fought against this kind of thing, and now they're in the town. He threatens to go back to war with his 17 sons, all named Aurelianus, accompanying him. Remember, he fathered them all over the country in his travels with the war. But then one by one, after he makes this threat, the 17 Aurelianos are tracked down by a squad of assassins who kill them all, shooting them in the head right through the ash cross they all receive on Ash Wednesday at the front of their head.
I was going to say, they all have a target.
they have a target. And
how will we know which ones they are? Yeah. Oh, dude, this is going to be the easiest money of your life.
They can't wash it off. And only one of these 17 Aurelianos survives.
Whoa. The one Aureliano.
Yeah, he's one.
That's so sad.
Doesn't have quite the same ring to it.
Yeah.
The colonel, after this, slides further into depression and stops making new goldfishes, but instead just makes a few and then melts them down again to restart the process.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so it's like meditative.
Yeah, yeah. Sustainable. It's the Sean Kingston's jet of goldfish.
Eventually, the colonel dies.
Oh, his dream.
Yeah. He's gone now. Remedios the beauty, remember? Mm-hmm. So beautiful that, you know, she's destroying men's psyches.
Yeah, brain of a child, though.
Yeah.
Remains oblivious to that. And she is so ethereal and not of this world that eventually she simply one day just floats up to heaven in front of her whole family. And they're all like, goodbye, Remedios.
Oh, my God.
That's awesome. She just That's goes so to heaven. Funny.
She's just not for this world.
Yeah.
That is the perfect ending for her. I'm really happy with that.
Yeah, nothing bad ever happened to her.
She just kind of wandered around in a daze and then off to heaven.
She sort of lived a happy life, was like, oh, yeah, cool. The world seems kind of nice.
Yeah.
One day, straight to heaven.
Bye.
Great. Didn't even have to die. Yeah, no fear, nothing. Nothing. Love it. Ursula, the matriarch of the family, is now well over 100 and has lost her sight. But no one has realized, because she's lived in the house for so long, she's memorized where everything is and where everyone will be during her daily routine.
I see.
So she can barely see anymore, but no one
Doesn't
notices
matter.
Because, yeah, she's memorized it all.
And
she's
everyone's in the same spot every day?
Pretty much. It's quite a...
No wonder Papa Jose lost his mind.
Yeah, he was living the same day every day.
One day after another, yes.
Yeah.
Fernanda del Carpio, who married into the family and who is highly religious, takes even more control of the house and everyone moves away, basically. They don't like sort of her vibe.
Rancid vibes.
Yeah. Even her husband, Aureliano Segundo, moves in with his mistress, Petra Cotes. They're the ones that when they bang, the animals.
Boink for farm.
But he's like, I don't like it here anymore. I'm going to go live with her.
Yeah, okay.
Fair.
Their kid, Pope Jose, as he's known, goes to seminary, moves away. And his sister, Meme, goes to school. She goes to study. Their parents, who are Aureliana Segundo and the woman who rules the house with the iron thumb, Fernanda del Carpio, have one more daughter, though, named Amaranta Ursula, who becomes close with her namesake, Ursula, the blind matriarch of the family.
Okay.
So she's much younger than her two older siblings.
Yeah, for sure.
One day, Amaranta Ursula's older sister, Meme, comes back from the school and falls madly in love with a mechanic working for the banana plantation named Maurizio Babilonia.
Yeah, whoa. I just fine-tune the bananas. I make them sing.
Oh, man, you're going to need to change the timing belt on that banana.
Just taking one bite and be like, no, this is wrong. Somebody upstairs has messed this up.
Yeah, having a bit of a knock and like holding your hand to the tree and be like, yeah, this is rattling. Yeah.
You got to turn that banana in. Sorry.
And usually the banana plantation workers live completely separately to the rest of the town.
Yeah.
But one day he sees her. He falls in love with her. And he's followed everywhere by yellow butterflies.
Oh, okay.
Oh, like, is it like the yellow flowers?
Yes. And so they sort of like come with him. And if he enters the room just starts filling up with butterflies.
Oh, my God.
I love that.
That's nice.
And at one stage he appears on Meme's doorstep and the house just gets filled with butterflies as you sort of...
Do they leave with him or is it sort of annoying?
I think it is a bit annoying, yeah. I think it's like he goes and you're like, what the heck?
Well, now I got to sweep all these butterflies out, yeah.
And the two sort of start secretly dating, but they're busted kissing in the movie theater by Meme's highly pious mother, Fernanda del Carpio, who does not approve of their relationship and puts Meme under a sort of house arrest and won't let her leave the family compound. I guess you could say grounded.
Yeah. She's grounded.
How old is she?
She's been to school and come back, so she's at least a mid-teen.
Okay.
I'm not sure what year she finished.
Yeah, fair.
Oh, mid-teen, well, that's a fun teen. Age to, like, make out with a mechanic in a
Yeah, in a theater. That's a perfect theater. Age. Yeah.
Assuming
really.
That the mechanic is also an apprentice.
But I didn't think about this before, but you're in the cinema. It's filling up with butterflies. That is so annoying for everyone else trying to watch the movie.
They're flying in front of the projector too, racking the screen. Yeah.
That is annoying.
Yeah.
So she's under house arrest. She's fully grounded, but this doesn't stop Maurizio, followed by butterflies, sneaking into her family home to hook up with Meme.
You cannot sneak.
Yeah, you sneaking are the in. Butterfly man.
Her mother, Fernanda, begins to notice the butterflies filling her house every night, and she slowly works out, hang on.
Slowly?
I don't think she knew that it was Maurizio that was doing it, but she's like, hang on. It's him. And one day she catches him sneaking in to see Meme. So what the mother, Fernanda, does is she asks the mayor of the town to place an armed guard out the back of the house because she tells him that she believes someone is breaking in to steal her chickens.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
That's gone sort of from grounded to imprisoned a little bit, yeah.
Well, that night, as Maurizio attempts to climb into the house to visit Meme, he is shot in the spine.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
By the guard who thinks he's a chicken thief. Mm. Maurizio is paralyzed and is bedridden for the rest of his life, as well as being ostracized from society because they all think he's a chicken thief.
Oh, no.
How bad is that?
Oh, dude, double whammy.
And the book says he died in solitude. Another 100 years.
Well, him and 30,000 butterflies.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, man, if you're bedridden.
What are they? It's got to be somebody's full-time job to keep the butterflies moving.
Sort of move them out.
My God.
Meme, the paralyzed man's lover, is also scarred by the events and becomes a mute.
Okay.
Her furious mother, Fernanda, takes Meme to the town Fernanda is originally from and places Meme in a convent where she too lives a life of solitude, quietly, constantly thinking about her lost love Maurizio.
Oh,
that's so she's gone off to a convent for life.
Yeah.
One day, a nun arrives at the family home with a child that Meme gave birth to and who was fathered by the now paralyzed Maurizio before they were broken up. But Fernanda, the mother, is so ashamed she hides her grandchild, the baby, in the colonel's old goldfish-making workshop and sort of like hides it from society.
Secret baby.
And the child is named, would you believe it, Aureliano.
No.
Who we will call penultimate Aureliano. Okay. This is the second last one we will come across.
Oh, my God.
Wow, that's so many.
That's so rude.
Yeah.
To be like, oh, my daughter had this baby. No one could have prevented all of the sadness in both of these people's lives, and now she can't even be with her kid. I'll name it after me.
Yeah. Also going on at this time is a full-on chapter in the life of Jose Arcadio Secundo, aka the Ass Man.
Oh, he's back.
That famously had sex with donkeys. He's really a strong, silent type and hasn't married or had any children.
Well, you can't come marry a donkey.
But he gets some purpose when he gets political and leads the banana plantation workers to strike against their terrible working conditions because they're very much ruled by the man.
Yeah, okay.
And he becomes, this is the ass man, becomes a sort of union leader for them. And Macondo is placed under martial law and the workers respond by sabotaging the plantation.
Cool.
Good.
It gets a little bit violent, you know, it goes too far, and the government then invites the 3,000 workers for a meeting to work out the strike. But it is a ruse.
Oh, no.
The army turns up and surrounds the workers and massacres them all with machine guns.
Jesus.
That's not smart. You need those guys to work in your banana plantation. Yeah. What are you doing?
Hey, you want to come work on this banana plantation? We need 2,000 men. Oh, what happened to the last 2,000 men? What?
So, Hawk, you say that again? Sorry.
I missed that.
Yeah, it got really loud when you said that.
For some reason. And also, if you're going to kill a bunch of people and if you surround them and start shooting, eventually you'll start shooting the guy on the other side.
True.
Oh, yeah.
This is not a good move.
That's stupid.
But they shoot them all.
Yeah.
Their bodies, the 3,000 men that are killed, are put on a train and dumped into the ocean.
Woof.
But the ass man, Jose Arcadio Segundo, somehow survives the massacre. And when he's placed on the train, he plays dead.
Oh.
But he jumps off the train early and just walks back into town. But when he gets there, no one remembers the massacre. The whole thing is swept under the rug and no one believes Jose Arcadio Segundo because they've killed literally every other witness.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it starts raining heavily, like really heavily, flash flooding. It doesn't stop. And the official company word is that the banana workers have all gone home and won't return until the rain stops. So anytime someone's like, where are they? Like, he's like, they killed them all. And they're like, no, no, no.
It's just raining.
It's just gone.
Yeah, it's raining.
They'll be back.
You can't work to get the bananas if it's wet.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
And the martial law stays active too under the guise of helping people with the rain. But really at night, the army round up any surviving union leaders or workers and they disappear forever, also off into the night. And when their relatives ask, hey, where are they? This is what it says. You must have been dreaming, the officer insisted. Nothing has happened in Macondo. Nothing has ever happened and nothing ever will happen. This is a happy town.
Ew.
No good.
Yeah. That's bad.
And people just sort of accept it.
Yeah, like, well, yeah, actually, you're right. It is a happy town, aside from all the donkey fucking.
Yeah. I mean, the ass man... The donkey fucker, Jose Arcadio Segundo, he's sort of starting to lose his mind because everyone who he tells, no, they shot them all.
Yeah.
They don't believe him.
Gaslit King.
And he knows he's in danger, so he takes refuge in the room that Melquiades, the old Milky Melquiades,
mm-hmm. Milky.
The magic old mysterious traveler used to hang out in. The soldiers one day search the Buendia house looking for any sort of these infidels.
Yeah.
Including they search the colonel's old workshop where one of the soldiers asks to keep one of the remaining goldfish as a memento. He's like, can I have that? And he says, it's a wonderful memento. Colonel Aureliano Buendia was one of our greatest men, which is wild because the colonel went mad fighting against armies like this.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
now
yeah.
They look to him like an army hero.
He also lost every uprising.
Yeah.
I don't really know what he did.
So Melquiades' room, where Jose Arcadio Segundo is hiding, is searched. But amazingly...
Wait, did they find the baby?
Yeah, I was wondering that too.
They looked in the workshop. Did they find that big kid?
Well, since then, eventually the baby joins the family.
Oh.
And they say, oh, we've adopted this child.
I see.
Okay.
After a while. So the child's no longer there.
Okay.
Cool.
But the ass man, Jose Arcadio Segundo, is hiding in this room. And he actually accepts, oh, my fate's up. They found
him. Yeah.
But amazingly, the soldiers, when they walk in, can't see him.
Oh.
Even when they shine a torch right on him, they can't see him. And the soldiers leave saying, yep. And they say, oh, no one's been in here for decades.
Yeah, okay. Ooh.
So a bit of maybe Melquiades' magic.
Still happening.
Hiding him there.
Sticking around.
And from here, the ass man, Jose Arcadio Segundo, dedicates his life to poring over Melquiades' old books and his old parchments, trying to decipher the secrets and ancient prophecies that they hold, despite the fact that he can't read the language they're written in.
Okay.
Well, it's a challenge, yeah, but, like, you know.
I gotta
what
work
else
this
is
out.
He doing?
Yeah, exactly. You might as well. You'll figure it out eventually.
Yeah, just really distract him from those donkeys.
He feels like he's left the donkeys behind. Yeah. They feel like they're in his rear view.
Has he?
He's got a new focus.
Yeah, it's funny for him. It doesn't really seem like he was attracted to donkeys. He just needed something to occupy his head.
Yeah,
it's like the church, cockfighting. All right, yeah, making sweet love to donkeys. Yeah. That's all right, politics.
Union leader.
Yeah.
Now it's like magic books in a language I don't read.
He just hasn't figured out what his, you know, his thing is yet. That's okay. It takes people different times, you know.
You're going to have a go at different things.
Give him a skateboard. Give him a guitar.
Yeah.
He'll work something out. So he's
all at risk of falling down that donkey fucking pipeline.
Give him a donkey. See if he likes it.
God, can you remember when I fucked donkeys? Who was that guy?
That was so cringe.
I was cringe back then, dude. Now I'm reading a wizard's books. Yeah.
I have no idea what it says. So he's in Melquiades' old room looking at the text. He's visited by his twin brother, Aureliano Segundo, who sees that his brother, the ass man, he's like, you're probably going to lose your mind in pursuit of this knowledge, just like our great-great-grandfather, Papa Jose, did. But he's like, I can't talk you out of it. And he just sort of leaves him in there.
Okay, fair enough.
To read through it. And the rain continues outside for 4 years, 11 months and 2 days.
Whoa.
Really rains hard. And Aureliano Segundo, the ass man who's married to Fernanda del Caprio but has the affair to keep the animals breeding, is trapped in the family home because it's raining. And all these magical animals drown and he loses his vast fortune.
Oh, no.
No.
He can always bone to make more.
Yeah, can't he bone to make more?
I guess he doesn't make animals. He just makes animals fertile.
Yeah, there's no fertile animals for like over 4 years because they all drown. So much water out there.
Zero times a million is still zero.
Yeah, that's true.
He cares for his youngest daughter, Amarantha Ursula, and his other daughter, Meme's illegitimate child, the penultimate Aureliano, who's come out of the workshop. Like I said, he's living with the family.
Yeah, okay.
Now he's being raised by Aureliano Segunda.
Okay.
Yep, cool. I'm there. I'm across it.
Raising grandkid as kid.
Yeah, that's right. Who is the penultimate Aureliano's grandfather?
Yes. All right.
Aureliano Segundo also spends his time by bickering with his wife, Fernanda del Carpio, and one day the fight gets so bad he loses it. He breaks all the valuable items in the house and sort of just starts going on a rampage. And this is not helped by the fact that he knows that buried somewhere in the backyard, the family fortune of gold is out there. There's a family fortune that he discovers that
exists.
Oh,
my God.
And now they're very poor because he can't...
He can't make the donkeys or any whatever animal.
Yeah.
So is the lady still in his life?
Which lady?
Magical sex lady?
Oh, yes. Yeah. So he still visits her, I believe, but now he's moved back into the family home.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
I guess there's no point living with the other one anymore.
It sort of feels like Aureliano Segundo and Jose Arcadio Segundo were meant to make a donkey boy. Because he made animals really fertile.
Yes.
And he was making love to donkeys. Feels like if they'd boned around those donkeys, they might have gotten pregnant with a donkey man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Feels like that was set up. Yeah.
And
then he could have rode that donkey boy into the union meeting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't
know. No one's going to shoot a donkey boy.
No, that's confusing.
Not at all. Not at all. Anyway.
But yeah, he knows, like, one of the frustrations is he lives with his wife who they do not get along.
Yeah.
And then also they've got no money and he knows that there's gold somewhere, but the only one who knows where it is the now senile and blind matriarch Ursula.
Still around.
She's still there.
But she won't give it, like, she's nearly 120 years old.
Whoa.
But she won't give him any hints on where it is. So when... So what Aureliano Segunda does is he just digs up the entire backyard, but he still can't find it.
Oh, no.
And... He gets very angry about it. The rain finally stops after almost 5 years, but the banana plantations are now washed away and all of the farm animals are drowned and the Buendia family are really struggling. A heat wave descends on the now broken downtown.
Oh,
like the whole town is
just doesn't end.
Seen better day. And they wonder if they're cursed. Everyone longs for the days of their prosperous past. Ursula, the matriarch of the family who held them all together for so many years, finally dies at 120.
Good innings.
Yeah, very good innings. I feel like she did what she needed to do.
Yeah. She did a lot. She did her bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
And her adopted daughter, who I haven't mentioned for a long time, Rebecca, the one who many years ago used to eat dirt.
Oh, Rebecca
Dirt Girl.
Yeah, wonderful.
And who'd married huge Don Jose Arcadio.
Yes.
And then when he mysteriously was shot and the blood trail went down the street,
yeah,
she locked herself in her house. Finally,
she did that.
The bandage.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, no, the bandage was her sister Amarantha.
Yeah. He burnt her hand to remember.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yep. Ignore me.
But both of them sort of went into a life of solitude. But yeah, Rebecca finally dies. Finally dies too. Of old age. She's just been around so long.
Oh, wow. The dirt she loved so much in youth.
Yeah, she's back in the dirt.
Oh, that's nice.
Aureliano Segundo dedicates his time to raising money to send his youngest daughter, Amarantha Ursula, to Europe to study.
Okay. All right.
Mm.
Which he eventually succeeds and she heads off to Brussels. So he's very happy about that.
That's nice.
Lovely part of the world.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Aureliano Segundo's twin brother, the Ass Man.
Oh, yeah.
Jose Arcadio Buendia, who witnessed the massacre of 3,000 men and has since locked himself up to decipher Melchiada's prophecies, finally has a small breakthrough and starts to understand some of it.
Oh,
that's massive.
That's huge.
Which is good. He's like, oh my gosh.
Hang on. Yeah.
He also gets penultimate Aureliano, who remember is his brother's illegitimate grandchild, born to Meme at the monastery.
Yeah, yeah. One okay. Turned up. I'm across it.
He gets him on board with the pursuit of knowledge and the real history of the town, massacre and all.
Okay.
So he passes on. So the new one, penultimate Aureliano, is the next generation
of
of decipherers. which is good because both twin brothers, Aureliano Segundo and the Ass Man, die at exactly the same time.
It was destined.
It was
born on the same day, died at the same time.
Yep. There you go.
But there's a mix-up with their bodies and they're buried in each other's graves because they look so identical.
Classic.
Whoops.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So now it's up to the penultimate Aureliano, the illegitimate child that, you know, no one really wanted.
Yeah, yeah.
It's up to him to lock himself in Melchiata's old laboratory, trying to decipher the text. And he's actually visited occasionally by the ghost of the old traveler himself.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's helpful.
It's better than the Ice Man ever got.
Who gives him clues and eventually helps him decipher the prophecies. And he discovers that they're written in Sanskrit.
Oh,
that's
okay.
That's the language that they're written in. And he's told by Melchiades, you've got time to learn the language.
Yeah, you're young.
As the parchments will become decipherable when they reach 100 years old.
Oh.
He's like, doesn't say exactly how old they are, but he's like, just get ready. You've got time to learn Sanskrit. Yeah. Because one day soon,
you'll be able to figure out what's going on. This is. The parchments, 100 years of solitude. That makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. They're alone. The family are now quite poor and lonely now. Fernando del Carpio, who's the pious one, has moved in and tried to boss everyone around.
Yeah.
Meanie.
She also dies. And when her son, her other son, Pope Jose.
Oh, yeah.
Whom the matriarch Ursula said, one day this kid will be Pope. Returns from the monastery. It turns out that he hasn't been living the life of a priest at all.
Oh, my God.
What's he been doing?
He's just been living a life of excess. And he comes back thinking he'll inherit a fortune. He's like, well, mum's gone. I'm going to take in the money.
Time to be rich.
But all he finds is an empty, dilapidated house that's falling down. That is until he discovers the family's gold.
Oh, my God.
Which was hidden under Ursula, the now dead matriarch's bed all along.
There you go.
Oh, that rules.
And then he's got enough money to buy being Pope.
Yeah, that's right. So when his dad was like digging up the whole thing, losing his mind.
Yeah.
It was under the Ursula's bed this whole time.
Classic.
That's so fun. Being 120 and someone be like, where's the gold? You're like, I don't know, dig.
Yeah, it's out there.
Keep digging.
Yeah. I'm not going to give you any clues. That's cheating.
It's in the earth, certainly.
But Pope Jose squanders the gold by living a life of debauchery, throws big parties, invites local youth over to party, tries to hang on to his own youth a bit too much.
That's sad.
But they aren't his real friends, and one day four of the youth kill Pope Jose to steal his gold.
No.
Oh, damn.
But so he never became Pope. Squandered.
He never made Pope. You're thinking, surely Ursula's right, but she was wrong for once.
So many prophecies have come true over time, but nope. This one, she muffed it up. Fair enough. You can't bat 100, you know?
Yeah, you can't get them all right.
Yeah.
Meaning in the house.
Muffed it up.
Really muffed it. Meaning in the house, all we have left is penultimate Aureliano, who is locked away deciphering Melchiata's parchments, and Amaranta Ursula, who is his mother, Meme's younger sister.
Okay.
Amaranta Ursula is the one who's gone to Europe to study, but she travels home to live in the family house, bringing with her Belgian husband, Gaston.
Oh, great name. Gaston, incredible. Hottie. Yeah, great hottie name. It's a hottie name.
Went to Europe, bagged a hottie, came home.
But of course, we know this family. Penultimate Aureliano falls in love with his aunt, Amaranta Ursula.
Classic.
Yeah. There's a reason it was Penn.
He doesn't know she is his auntie because, remember, he's born out of wedlock, never told who his mother was, but he's like, I'm really attracted to this woman. Still, Amaranta Ursula, the woman he loves, is already married, and he visits brothels to try and forget the unrequited lust.
It really gets to him.
He wanders the now faded town of Macondo, and he discovers that almost no one even remembers the Buendia family name at this point. They were once the most notable family in town. They started this whole village.
Yeah, it's their village.
Just a memory.
But it's, yeah.
Not even that.
Not even. It's lost.
Not even that.
But he's in love with Amaranta Ursula, who's married to Gaston, but Gaston has this big dream of starting one of the world's first airmail services. and he leaves to go back to Brussels. And whilst he's away,
oh no,
his wife falls to temptation and has an affair with her nephew, the penultimate Aureliano. And once her husband, Gaston, hears about the affair, he's like, well, I'm not coming home then.
Gross, so, babe. Yeah, yeah. I'm staying in Brussels.
Yeah. They got airmail now. Yeah.
So now they're the only two left in the house, and the affair continues as the house just falls down around them. They've got no money. It's in disrepair.
Yeah.
And their lovemaking, we're told, is so violent, they literally destroy the house. They break furniture. They disembowel mattresses. They shred hammocks.
What the hell?
Oh, my God.
What are you doing?
They are passionate.
Ass made of razor blades. What's going on there? Oh, my God. On.
The whole town and the house becomes infested with red ants.
Okay.
Ooh.
It says, in that Macondo, forgotten even by the birds, where the dust and the heat had become so strong that it was difficult to breathe, secluded by solitude and love and by the solitude of love, in a house where it was almost impossible to sleep because of the noise of the red ants, Aureliano and Amaranta Ursula were the only happy beings and the most happy on the face of the earth. So they're having a great time just banging away.
Yeah. Oh. Hey, if it works, it works. The ants don't bother you.
Yeah.
Get dirty.
I think it sounds like Aureliano had two kinds of ant infestations.
That's good stuff.
That's good stuff.
That is.
That's
right.
Good gear.
That yeah. Oh, it's all Gabriel.
Yeah. That's right.
I'm just picking up what he put down.
Yeah.
So they're loving each other. Amaranta Ursula gets pregnant, but again, I'm afraid tragedy strikes. She soon dies just after she gives birth to a son that, like his father, is also named Aureliano, who we'll call the ultimate Aureliano.
Hell yeah.
There we go.
Rock and roll.
Fulfilling a family trait feared by the matriarch of the family, Ursula, the final Aureliano, who is the result of incest, is born with a pig's tail.
Yes!
It finally happened.
Yes!
That's awesome.
Oh, hell yes.
I'm so happy about that.
The penultimate Aureliano, the boy's father,
yeah,
who's just lost his love, seeks comfort in alcohol, but he drinks too much and he soon forgets about his newborn son.
Oh, no.
And when he remembers him, it's too late, and this is a very grisly scene. He sees that the fire ants have eaten the baby.
Oh, ooh, my God. What a way to go. Pigtail and all. Yeah. Damn.
It's a grisly, grisly scene.
That is so grisly.
But then the book says, Aureliano could not move, not because he was paralyzed by horror, but because at that prodigious instant, Melchiada's final keys were revealed to him, and he saw the epigraph of the parchments perfectly placed in the order of man's time and space. The first of the line is tied to a tree and the last is being eaten by the ants. So basically he's had this vision of, oh my gosh, it finally all makes sense to me.
Yeah.
He's realized that his family's line has come to an end because in one of the parchments, it says the first of the line is tied to a tree. And that's his great-great-grandfather, yeah. Papa Jose, who decades earlier went mad and had to be tied to a tree. And the last being eaten by ants is his son,
yeah, wow.
The ultimate Aureliano.
Damn.
So he now knows that the fate of his family are written on the parchments, and now it all makes sense to him. He again locks himself in Melchiada's old room, and this time he can read the parchments. It says it's as if it was written in Spanish, first language. He can just read it off the page. It says, he began to decipher them aloud. It was the history of the family, written by Melchiades, down to the most trivial details 100 years ahead of time. So basically, the family story we've just read is the Melchiada's story of the family.
Yeah. Okay.
Knowing them, he knew
what was going to come, what was going to happen to him.
What was going to happen to this family. Because he is magic, milky Melchiades.
What a guy.
The penultimate Aureliano starts to read and he's like, oh, wow, yeah, there it is. There's the execution of Smokey Arcadio. There's Remedios the Beauty ascending to heaven. And he's like, heard all these stories. There's the twin brothers who tried to decipher the parchment, and then there's their death, and he just sees it all and goes, oh my gosh. He skips ahead to read about his own life, as you would.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And finds his own moment of conception between his mother Meme and her lover Maurizio.
Whoa.
Before Maurizio was shot. He actually realizes who his father is for the first time.
Oh my God.
And then the book starts to refer to him for the first time as Aureliano Babylonia, which is his father's last
name.
It's
a sick last name.
Which is great.
It's a really good one.
And Aureliano Babylonia is so engaged with what he's reading that he doesn't notice that a huge wind has started to gather and is now cyclonic, ripping doors and windows off their hinges, and then it pulls the whole roof off the house, but he just doesn't even notice. The whole town being swept up in what is described as a biblical hurricane.
Oh, my God.
Still, he reads on, and this bit absolutely blew my mind when I read it.
Mm.
It says, Aureliano skipped 11 pages so as to not lose time with facts he knew only too well, and he began to decipher the instant that he was living, deciphering it as he lived it, prophesizing himself in the act of deciphering the last pages of the parchment as if he were looking into a speaking mirror.
Whoa, so that's cool.
Imagine reading your life in real time, and in what you are reading, you are reading.
Yeah.
So it's like this endless cycle, like looking into a mirror or with a mirror behind you. It just goes on forever.
Yeah.
And that like blew my mind.
That's awesome.
Oh my God. And then the final line, it's quite a paragraph, but it's amazing. So I'll put it all in. The final line of 100 Years of Solitude comes soon after this. It says, then he skipped again to anticipate the predictions and ascertain the date and circumstances of his death. Before reaching the final line, however, he had already understood that he would never leave that room, for it was foreseen that the city of mirrors or mirages would be wiped out by the wind and exiled from the memory of men at the precise moment when Aureliano, Babylonia, would finish deciphering the parchments, and that everything written on them was unrepeatable since time immemorial and forevermore, because races condemned to 100 years of solitude did not have a second opportunity on Earth.
That's
the end.
I love that it ends by being like, and that's the end, and then that's the, you know what I mean? Like, this is the last he ever reads, and then you stop reading the book.
Yeah, exactly. That's cool. It's awesome. It's a great finish.
That's such a good...
Imagine knowing that...
Because that's how he would have felt.
Yeah, exactly.
Imagine, as soon as I start reading this, it's all over.
It's done.
This is it.
Like, yeah, that's amazing.
I'm reading the story, but it's actually my life. Oh my God, I'm not leaving this room. Yeah, it's a sick ending.
Yeah, that's amazing. I imagine that when you're reading it, that like culmination of every, all of this family history coming together.
Yeah, because it does a little flashback of theirs. You know, there's Remedios going up and there's the twin brothers. And
very cool scene.
Yeah.
Very, would have felt,
hang on, he's speed reading what we've just read. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, a great finish. And hopefully it made sense.
I think so. Yeah, yeah, it did.
And that is part of the book. Like that's on purpose, he made the characters have similar names because the family is caught in like a series of repetitions
with
names and personality traits passed down from generation to generation. But on a podcast, it wouldn't have made sense if I just saw the names.
We would have been so lost.
Very purposeful by
absolutely.
By the author, yeah.
That's awesome. That sounds like an incredible book.
Mm.
It makes me want to read it now.
It does. It's cool.
And I'm glad that you sort of have told me the ending because I think I would have gotten so amped up that I wouldn't have been able to read.
Yeah.
Like, do you ever get so excited when you're reading that you'll read three sentences and you're like, what?
I often do that on the last page of the book because I know it's ending.
So yeah,
sort of start the speed read and then you go, hang on. I'm not taking this in. I've really got to take this in.
Absolutely. And I think as well, because you that last paragraph, you know, like it's the end of everything, but it is also the end of the book. You might slow down too much. You're like, oh no, it's going to end. I don't want to go.
Which is exactly how he would have been feeling.
Yeah, if I slow this down, maybe I won't die.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
Can see why all those people suggested it.
Yeah, absolutely. You can see why it kicked off a whole sort of like or popularized a genre.
Yes, and it was instantly popular.
Yeah.
It sold out straight away, and then a couple of years later it was translated into English. And the guy who did it, Marquez, read the English and was like, this is even better than the Spanish version.
Oh, really?
This is incredible.
Wow. Why did he think that? Do you know? Like, what was he just like? It's clearer, or it's.
I'm not sure if it. Or maybe it was just like it's like reading someone else. I don't know.
Oh yeah,
just like got to enjoy it on a different level.
Yeah, I suppose if someone translated things that we'd done into like French or something, we'd be like, oh my God!
I get so excited.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, totally. And I imagine some things lose it in the translation, but if the author's reading it, going, nope, I'm approved. This is good.
Like
this
it's better. That's what's so weird about.
This is cool.
That's amazing. Does it make you want to read the other books that he's written? Does it make you want to try Love in the Time of Cholera and
stuff? I would love to do that, actually.
Yeah.
Having read that, I would really like to.
Yeah, fair. Yeah.
And maybe a bit more magical realism.
Yes.
It's cool.
It's a very cool genre. I'm into it a lot because you don't, like we were saying at the top of the first episode, if it's all fantasy, then nothing feels special.
Yes, I totally agree. And I was having that thought where, like, you know, if you read fantasy, like, because it's a completely new world, I know that can be very exciting, but sometimes I find it frustrating because you don't know the rules of the world.
Absolutely.
And like, you know, the whole quest, the whole time they're looking for the yellow star.
Yeah.
And then like at the end they can go, actually the red star is even more powerful or something like that. And you go, oh, I guess I got to accept
it. I didn't know that, but okay.
Here it's kind of like most things seem to follow
Yeah.
Like, you know, realism.
Absolutely.
So there's a structure, a framework.
It's like a yardstick that you can measure everything else against.
Extra little bits where you go, oh, like, you know, it started raining flowers. That's cool.
Yeah. And it's nice that it's not, it's kind of, it's not super subtle. It's like
normal,
very obviously magical.
Yes.
Normal. But then go on.
No.
I was going to say, but then I like that also there are some stuff or are some events where it's kind of magical. Like the fact that nephews keep trying to bang aunt. Like,
yes.
That's kind of magical in a really subtle, weird, the family keeps repeating itself kind of way, but it's not as obvious as sex making pigs fertile or whatever, you know? Yeah.
I feel like the magic realism keeps so much more of the humanity than high fantasy does. Mm. I feel like so often the thing that high fantasy absolutely loses me with is it'll have to tell you what the characters think is important and what's special. And like, you feel like sometimes, and like not in every case, obviously some people do it really, really well, but like sometimes you're reading a list of how this culture works and it's very like, okay, you should care about this. And this is actually sad. And
Absolutely.
Obviously you can do it in a really well way where you don't even realize you're being told. But sometimes you're just reading it being like, oh my God. Like,
yeah.
Sometimes it feels like clunky dialogue when someone's like, oh, look, the key, which remember is important because.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're like feeling a bit spoon-fed.
I think it's the thing as well where like, say you have a fantasy setting that has a dragon. It's got dragons in it. And then they're like, and there's werewolves attacking the town. The werewolves don't feel extra or special because there's already dragons.
Yeah,
so
sure. Yeah.
My yardstick for what is exciting or interesting, it's, I don't know, it's already too high.
I feel like a lot of the magic that happened in this story really tied it back to what the people were actually feeling and going through. Like it made me think more about how I like the feelings and emotions around every event as opposed to being like, like sometimes I read high fantasy and I'm just exhausted.
Yeah.
Everyone's a chosen one. Everyone's doing the biggest battle of their lives.
Right,
like it's
yes.
so big and then you've got nowhere to go. Whereas this, it's like, oh, and then it started raining flowers heavily. And it's like, fuck, of course it did.
Yeah.
Fair enough. The sky felt the same. This guy was followed by butterflies. You're like, whoop, fair enough. But like, whoop.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And even the ancestral incest,
yeah.
you're just like, no, yeah. but.
Of course. Yeah.
But I accept it.
Yeah, exactly. It's part of the package.
And it just, it all wraps up and ties up. Like the magic is futility
as
much as it is hope. Yeah. It's nice.
Yeah. Definitely one of my favorite endings of.
Yeah. That's great. I love that the town is completely wiped away as well. It's like it never was.
Yeah.
That's very cool. Big fan.
I really, things started kicking off for me as I was like, this is a good ending.
Yeah.
They're like, they fucked the house down.
Yeah.
It's like, oh,
hell yes.
Oh yeah. This is ending.
Boy,
ending.
Did they. Yeah. That's amazing.
Well, we've got to check in with a score out of 5. At the end of part 1, we all gave it the perfect 5.
Yeah.
How are we feeling? Did it stick the landing for you?
I think it did. I think by and large it did. I feel like I don't know. It's hard to tell. It felt like the first section was denser, if that makes sense, which it probably was, but still probably 5. I'll still probably say 5 out of 5.
Yeah. I would say 5 as well. I liked the second half more because of the ending. What were we just talking about? How did you think about the ending? I feel like the first half, you're right, it was more dense, but I feel like it's moving through history and technology and everything's changing. And like, I feel like more was happening in the old times. And then as it moved forward, it was less insane.
Yes, for sure.
Until right at the very end. And I was strapped in. As I said, I would not have been able to read that straight.
Yeah, yeah.
I would have been too excited and I would have had
bouncing
to read that last
chair.
Page two.
Yeah.
I reckon I would have had to go back 2 pages and start
do it
again.
Absolutely.
I'm going to say that it also stuck the landing for me. 5 out of 5.
Hell nice. Yeah.
Perfect score.
This is one of the, I've given a few books perfect marks, but I don't know if every guest, all 3 people have agreed.
This might be the first truly perfect score.
This is the only perfect book. We should give this guy a prize.
Yeah. Track him down. How's he doing?
No bells though.
No bells.
So yeah, I encourage people to read it. It's a classic for a reason, as we found out here today.
Yeah.
It's one of those ones I would say, it's not like a 10 pages a night before bed for 6 weeks type one. It's like, you got to do.
If you stop reading it for more than like 2 days, you'd be lost, right? Like
I think that actually happened to me the first time I read about 80 pages and then I got distracted by something else.
Yeah.
And then over Christmas, I went back to it from the start and it just in a couple of days and then you really get engrossed in it.
Yeah.
And then it's definitely the best way.
Yeah, I was thinking that ending is the kind of thing where you'd be reading and it'd hit about like 11. You're like, I should go to bed. But
Oh, I've got to keep going.
I can keep going. And you've done by 1 a.m.
Exactly. Yeah, you end up like perched on top of a chair on the balls of your feet.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I can sleep now.
Yeah, but I've never been more awake.
100%.
Well, there it is. 5 out of 5, 100 Years of Solitude. An often requested book that I finally got to. So thanks everyone for suggesting it. And you can suggest a book at any time. There's a link in the description of this episode. Tell me why I should do it and I'll probably do it.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Well, that's it for the episode. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much
Thanks
for having
us. Thanks for this journey.
Absolute pleasure sticking with me for not one but two episodes. Really appreciate that.
Oh, a dream.
Yeah. I could have done 3.
Let's go again. And we can hear your fantastic podcast on Sanspants Radio. Cass, what are you currently podding about?
I'm slinging Shut Up a Second. I'm slinging Being Hot is Hard. I'm slinging Sometimes D&D is for Nerds.
Hell yeah.
You can hear all of them on the internet where you found this one. No, probably not, because this one's Patreon, isn't it?
No, everyone can hear this.
Oh, my God. Yeah, find out where you found this one.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Search up Sanspants Radio. All of them are good.
That is true. That is true about what we do. Everyone is good.
You're also on Sanspants Radio, Jackson. What are some of the ones we can hear you on?
That's true. I do Plumbing the Death Star, which is on YouTube and TikTok and stuff now, which is very exciting. You can see what we look like. You can see how many times I wipe my face, which is a thing I didn't know I do.
What do you wipe with?
I do this. So I get my hand like I hold my hand flat and then I just wipe it against my nose all the way down to like my elbow.
Until you're doing like a dab.
Yeah. And I do it while I'm talking like subconsciously all the time.
But
and
have you been thinking about it today? Because I haven't noticed it.
No, I haven't been thinking about it. I might have. I don't know. I'm like doing this, rubbing my nose. And I do it all the time for some reason.
I think it's important to note Jackson's not wiping anything off.
No.
It's always a dry wipe.
I'm just dry wiping my face. I don't know why, but that's search for Plumbing the Death Star on YouTube. You can watch me or TikTok or wherever, and you can watch me wipe my face. I'm also in a podcast called Baseless Speculation, where we talk about upcoming movies, and a video game podcast called Thumb Cramps. And I'm also occasionally in D&D is for Nerds. So check them out. Yeah, search them. They're all good.
And you can find Book Cheat specifically at Book Cheat Pod on all the social medias. And you can support the show. As I'm losing my voice, we made it just in time.
Yeah.
Patreon.com/DoGoOnPod. Support this show, Do Go On, Who Knew It with Matt Stewart, a bunch of other great shows, and we really appreciate it.
Once again, they're all good.
They're all good.
They're all good.
So many pods, so little time.
They don't miss.
They don't miss.
I'll be back with another classic next month, but until then, I'll say thank you so much again for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much. It's Books Forever!
Books Forever!
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.